I'm reading this morning from Hebrews 6, 1-6. It's found on page 207 in your pew Bible. The peril of falling away. Therefore, let us go on toward perfection, leaving behind the basic teaching about Christ, and not laying again the foundation, repentance from dead works, and faith toward God. Instruction about the baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And we will do this if God permits, for it is impossible to restore again to repentance those who have once been enlightened and have lasted the heavenly gift and have shared in the Holy Spirit and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the powers of the age to come. And then have fallen away, since on their own they are crucifying against the Son of God and are holding him up to contempt. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel is in before us. If you are comfortable standing for the gospel, I ask you to do so. Jesus is speaking, and he speaks to the people and says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all the truth, for he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that I will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord. Mark informed me that you had a distinguished visitor last Sunday. The Holy Spirit was here? That's a pretty distinguished visitor, is it not? Did it descend upon you as tongues of fire and give you utterance? Did Mark fill you with spirit and vitality and send you out of here rip-roaring? They're not as enthusiastic as I was wondering there, but there you go. Thank you for filling in for me, Mark. The Holy Spirit resides within us, within our hearts, in its entirety. I heard the sermon is online, so you don't get away with anything in this church. And that's what he said, and I think that's very accurate. And that's a little intimidating. Isn't that a little bit intimidating to know that the whole of God resides within us just to be tapped? That's nice because, you know, the other day I was trying to do something on the computer and the internet was slow, and I had to wait. And here we have instant access. This is high-speed internet. Target stores, did you hear about that? Target stores, all of their cash registers, 2 hours, they couldn't check anybody out because they had a computer glitch. No such problem with the Holy Spirit. It's right here within our hearts, and we have access to it instantly, always. And it helps us when we need it because we are moving on to perfection. Are we moving on to perfection? All right. So isn't this annual conference Sunday? Isn't this the Sunday when the preacher's supposed to be gone and the lay leader's supposed to be preaching? Oh, we shifted a little bit here, didn't we? We got a little off. The preacher's supposed to be in Billings, Montana at annual conference. It's all right. We sent Melba. Melba can adequately represent it. Yes, you bet. She is there. Open hearts, open minds, open doors. That's our motto. Isn't that our motto? Open hearts, open minds, open doors. Our last annual conference, 2019 special conference, didn't reflect that. Many of us are struggling with that. We're waiting to see what this annual conference is going to bring because we need to be that people that are open. Open hearts, open minds, open doors, loving and welcoming. But annual conference. Isn't it Father's Day today? We should celebrate fathers. Every male that is present here, if you'll stand, just out, men, stand up. Up, up, up. Mothers that are fathers, yes, you bet. We celebrate all. Yeah, there we go. All right, sit down. As a father, that's not how I like to be appreciated per se, but that's okay. Melissa, you going to make me a steak lunch today? You going to broil me a steak on the grill? She has a thumbs up. We'll see how that goes. Fatherhood. That's an amazing thing. That was a huge change in my life. I was footloose and fancy free, full of... I always had money. I could do fun things, take off at the drop of a hat, and then all of a sudden with kids, it all changed somehow. There's some responsibility that goes with that, and there's some commitment. And I remember the time being always short of sleep. And then it was over. It's like that was such a brief period in our lives. And I kind of wish I could go back and take slices of it on and off and be able to celebrate that. I was determined. I had daughters. The whole household was daughters. Raised four girls. It was the dog and I were the only males. We bonded some. But he hung with them more than me. But I was aware of some of the things that society said that women can't do. And I didn't agree with that. And one day, and I can't remember the exact year, but the girls were little. They were in grade school. And we were out on a bicycle ride one afternoon. And we're riding along, and there was a presidential race underway. And I said, well, women can become president. And my daughter, Sarah, Melissa's little sister, said, no, Dad, women cannot be president. I said, yes, they can. She said, no, they can't. I said, yes, they can. And she said, has there ever been a woman president? And I said, no. So, she said, see? And I thought, I hate it when she gets me trapped and I don't have an easy way. And about that time, we came across the railroad tracks. And there was a train stopped there. It was the switching crew that was in the siding. They were waiting for an opposition train coming through. So they're parked there waiting. And it just so happens, I knew the crew by name. I'm a train nut. We don't need to go down that story very far. But at any rate, we pulled off with them and we started chatting away. And the conductor, who was the head of the crew, he turned to the engineer. Her name was Janie Mullinex. He says, Janie, I bet these girls would like a tour of the motor. That's what they call the locomotive in train talk. And everybody started grinning, and he said, and maybe their dad too. So we crawled up in the locomotive, and Melissa rang the grade crossing bell, and Sarah sounded the horn, and they sat in the engineer's seat, and it was just wonderful. And we got down there, and we had huge smiles on our face, and we were a little bit dirty because diesel locomotives are a little bit dirty. But then the train passed and the signals went and the crew had to head out. And as they're pulling out, I leaned over to Sarah and I said, look who's driving the train. And Janie Mullinex leaned out the window and, yeah, I said, thank you, God. We haven't had a woman president yet, but there are cracks in that glass ceiling that are just all over the place. It can be. And I hope that that comes to pass someday with a person who's qualified and gifted and able to do that work. Amen. Yeah. Here we are on Father's Day talking about women and women's live and women's rights. That's all right. That's all right. Because an important part of fatherhood for me is to make a world for my children that's better than the world and it doesn't have some of the faults that I grew up with. My dad was a perfect model. He was a wonderful guy. I've mentioned a few things about him. Scientist, engineer, hunter, outdoorsman. We were climbing 14,000-foot peaks. He was in his 70s, and we were still climbing 14ers. I can't do that in my 60s. What do you want to know? He was part mountain goat, I swear to goodness. But he was a good man. He was a wonderful man, and he is a huge piece of who I am and how I am and why I'm in ministry and what I'm about. He was intelligent. He was kind. He was patient. Patient. And boy, did I need patience when I was a kid. And he admitted when he didn't know something. I remember being startled at some point. I asked him a question about something and he said, "I had no idea. I don't know." But then we'd begin to explore to try and find out answers to things. Have you met people that know everything? They're not a lot of help sometimes. Sometimes they're less help than we'd like them to be. But Dad wasn't perfect. He had some flaws, and it's kind of uncomfortable to say that my father has flaws. He's passed. I lost him in 2013. And to speak of someone who's passed and admit their flaws seems sacrilegious, but he would have been the first to admit that he was not perfect. And he would have reminded me that we do have a father who is perfect. And that's okay. So Father's Day. Isn't it Peace with Justice Sunday? Didn't we just take an offering? The ushers came and did that, didn't they? I didn't watch real closely, but we took a special Peace with Justice offering. Is Peace with Justice worth talking about this morning? I mean, Peace with Justice is about a society that if we were perfect, we wouldn't talk about it. Peace with Justice would be a given. It's coming back, and part of it is that word, that Hebrew word that Renee and I get into sometimes when we greet each other and say shalom. It's like Hawaiian. How many of you speak some Hawaiian? Paya, you speak a lot of Hawaiian. When you greet somebody, how do you greet them?
Aloha.
Let's say that together.
Aloha.
Didn't have a lot of energy, but we'll live with it for this moment. Hebrews greet each other by saying shalom. It's also goodbye. Shalom. And it's become such a common word that they've forgotten how deep and wide that word is. It's a word about peace. Peace to you. But it's also a peace with justice, with equality. When at a time, it bespeaks of people that wouldn't steal from each other because they all have all they need. They all share equally. There's none that have more and some none that have less. There'd be no animosity between people because we would be brothers and sisters together. Shalom. So with Peace with Justice, we are disciples of the Prince of Peace. Jesus was the Prince of Peace, calling us, seeking that, seeking ways to be about that. And so this is an important reflection for today, Peace with Justice. And we could spend the entire sermon time on that. Here we go again, those trees. They're moving on to perfection too, aren't they? Peace with justice means confronting things that aren't right in our society. Being advocates for those who are hurting, those who are being oppressed, being discriminated against. Think about it, that's what Jesus was in the middle of. There were all kinds of outcasts. If you were a leper, you were outcast. You couldn't be a part of society. You were unclean. You were untouchable. And he engaged them. Women. Women were property. The women were not even human. They were owned like pets. And yet Jesus treated them with equality. So peace with justice is part of a society becoming a better society, more Christ-like, if you will. The Me Too movement is out there. We've seen different reactions, and some of that has gotten a little bit out of hand in one direction. But all of that is about confronting people with power, abusing that power. And that needs to be confronted, and we need to see those changes. So we are moving on to perfection in that respect. We're trying to get there, and it's a work in progress. When we get there, maybe that will be the kingdom of God. Jesus confronted so many things. Think about the way he confronted chief priests and Sadducees and their utter reinforcement and enforcement of laws to the letter, because they could, because they increased their power. And he confronted that, and he helped us learn how to become a more loving, hospitable human people. And he got to a certain point, but humanity had matured to a certain point at that point. And now I believe that humanity is ready to mature to the next set of lessons. I have so much more to teach you, he said, but you cannot hear it now. What is it that we need to hear now? What is it that Jesus would share with us now? What are those growing points, those areas that we need to be shocked out of and led from? Sometimes I have to smile because I had all the answers when I graduated from high school. I can remember distinctly after graduation thinking, I have it all figured out. If all of the old people would just get out of the way, we know, well, this high school class, we know all the answers. We have it all straight in our minds. Everything's black and white. Everything's very clear. And it's just gotten grayer and muddier since then. Because the reality is that it isn't black and white. That is a much deeper and much broader paintbrush that paints our world. And so I'm learning. I'm 3 degrees below zero, and I'm still getting down there to where we need to be and how we need to learn and how do we need to be. What do we have yet to learn? What do we have yet to grow into? The kids knew their math. They knew their 1, 2, 3s and the 9, 10s and all of that, and they had that figured out. But there was more to learn in math. I obviously knew they would not know trig. But all of us understand that you have to take each step at a time as you learn and grow. And our Christianity is the same. We're learning and growing, and we read the Bible and we understand. And then we read it again and we understand more. And then we read it again and we understand what we didn't understand when we thought we understood. Did I get that right? It could get confusing. It could be a mess. It could be all convoluted, except we have the Holy Spirit within us to guide us. We have that Holy Spirit as accessible to know. And at our core, we know what's right and wrong. We know, and if we look at everything in the world through that filter of Jesus Christ, then we're on the right track. So this is Father's Day. This is Father's Day, and as Renee pointed out, mothers that have been fathers, grandmothers that have been fathers, fathers that have been mothers, all that have done that nurturing of family and care, we celebrate and we recognize. And those great fathers are the ones that hope that the world of their childhood, that those things that weren't right are being corrected, that we're providing a better world for our children than the one we had. And praying that our children will be able to step forth a little further yet, providing even a more kingdom of God, growing closer and prospering. So, pause and reflect on your fathers. I hope you all had good fathers like I had. If not, I hope there were others that filled that role, a wonderful role. An important role and not an easy one at times. But give a thank you. And as you see them and know them for the humans that they were, reflect upon the perfect Father. And give thanks again. The Holy Spirit among us is God, Christ, the Holy Spirit within us, guiding the perfect Father. Amen.